This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Strong Style Story Podcast here at Place to Be Nation, the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. I am your host, Selector Jeffrey Wessel. You can find me at Strong Style Story with at the E in style on Twitter. The regular blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com, and you are listening to this again through Place to Be Nation and the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. Find it now on your favorite podcast apps. With me today, my main man, Lawrence O'Brien. Lawrence, how goes, man?
It's going all right. We got a little small show today. It's just me and Jeff, we're going to try to...
A small intimate gathering, yes. This is our club show compared to the massive production that was that was our dome show last week.
Yeah, we need to take it down a notch.
Yeah, just do a little of these small rooms, you know, a little intimate gatherings. So
yeah.
So when last we spoke, we had a Cubs fan on, which, hey, shout out to Cubs fan. We had Cubs fan on to discuss the Fantastica Mania cards that had not yet been announced. Well, they since got announced. And as we record this, the first of the Cork and Hall shows has taken place. Now, if you want to watch one of the earlier shows, the very first night from Nagoya is actually on the Real Hero Google Drive, if you go look for that. It's not entirely necessary to watch that. It's just a fun show. And I think, it's always fun to see good wrestling, which this was. Again, there was nothing really of any import on this show, but I would highly recommend going to find that. I would also highly recommend watching Friday's show as we record. That's the last show that happened, because, boy, there were some belters on that show. And besides which, if anybody is aware, this also is going to be one of your last opportunities to see one of our favorite young lions in a New Japan ring for a while, as it was announced that Hiroi Kawato is actually on his way to Mexico. Which, yeah, I think is
really good.
I think that'll be a great fit for him, honestly.
I agree. I think he would be much suited to their style, the Lucha style, for sure.
I think so. Although one thing I'm seeing, and I think this is something that Cubs has even theorized, Kawato may not be getting a makeover over there. He may actually be wrestling under his name, Hiroi Kawato.
Interesting.
Now it's not completely unheard of. I mean, Naito and Yujiro did that when No Limit had their excursion. But I mean, usually, people, it was the joke that Cubs made, of course, was, start looking up obscure Japanese monsters that could go under there. And somebody mentioned a Kappa, which I thought, oh man, that would be cool. but no, it seems that Kawato is going to be under his given name, and also possibly Wrestling Technico, which is also odd for a Japanese excursionee.
That is quite out of the norm, I would say. Yeah, that's really interesting.
I mean, I guess you could make the argument that, since, the advent of NJPW world, you can see these guys already, so there's not really any mystery to them. Now, like, when Sho and Yo went over there, They initially tried to do the whole Raijin and Fujin, and they actually had masks made, but they never wore them in a match.
Yeah, that just didn't work for them, I guess. So.
Yeah. Which is a
And
shame.
just
I
even,
mean, but, what can you
yeah,
do?
some guys, I think just I just think some guys just don't like working with the masks, which I don't blame them, because it's not particularly like easy. But yeah,
Yeah.
I kind of it's kind of good for Kawato, I think. I couldn't really imagine him working any other style besides being like Tectico. Yeah, I don't know. He just doesn't. I don't know. He just doesn't project as like a Rudo to me at all.
No, I
There's
don't think so either. But I mean, then again, you could have made that argument about Hiromu going back to his Young Lion days.
No,
But then, I mean,
true,
he made it really work as Kamaitachi. I think he's going to have some really big shoes to fill. Because I mean, I think Hiromu as Kamaitachi was a bit of a revelation over there. I mean, he probably is the most successful excursionee while on excursion. Like, doesn't come back as a conquering hero. I mean, he's probably the most successful excursionee ever.
Oh yeah, I mean the amount of noise he made was pretty unreal. I mean,
Yeah.
everybody was talking about those Dragon Lee matches. I mean,
Oh yeah.
everybody was
And
talking about those.
boy, aren't we lucky that we're getting more Dragon Lee Hiromu
Oh
interaction on this tour? My God.
yeah, oh yeah, they sure did on this show.
All right, so let's go down the Friday, January 19th, my daughter's birthday, as a matter of fact. Cork and Hall show. The show started with the returning Shigeo Okumura defeating Fuego.
Oh gosh, you
Oh
gotta love
boy, that was
Okumura's
yeah, but
got a job for
there
life.
was a severely not cool part about that match.
Oh yeah, that was yeah, it was a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
Yeah.
him smacking Mima Shimoda. I mean, Mima Shimoda should be washing Shigeo. I mean, remember her Death Valley driver? I
Yeah,
mean,
oh
my
yeah.
God.
No, that was some wild ass shit. Like I was like, "Whoa, hey,
Whoa,
let's
yeah,
take it easy there, pal."
that really took me out of the rest of the match, I gotta be honest.
I was like, "Whoa, that was a little uncalled for, but okay."
Yeah, very
Like,
uncalled for.
yeah.
Extremely uncalled for.
Yeah, wasn't a it was Fuego did his fun stuff that he does, which I like, and but Okamura was Okamura. He's never anything special. It's
Yeah,
he
oh yeah, Shigeo Okamura is Shigeo Okamura. It is
he's
Shigeo
we all know
Okamura.
what his role is, and
Yeah, his role is to guide the excursionees, but it doesn't seem as if that's going to happen this time with Kawato. So,
yeah.
and then speaking of Kawato, the following match was the annual tribute match to
Oh,
Black
Black.
Cat
Oh,
Victor
yeah.
Manuel. In which the Ingobernables, Rush, Tetsuya Naito, Bushi, and Hiromu beat a team of Satoshi Kojima, Dragon Lee, Star Jr., and Hiroaki Kawato. Bushi tapping out Kawato with the Boston Crab, the most,
Yeah.
Young Lion
Uh-oh.
fashion to lose. Boy, the
Yeah.
Ingobernables were on an absolute tear on this match.
This was awesome. Yeah, they were really, really like
The
on.
Ingobernables were Rudos to the extreme in this match,
Yeah.
especially with Naito attacking
Oh.
Milano in the way
Yeah,
that he did.
I think Rush brings it out of them. Like I think Rush like kind of gets that out of guys.
Yeah,
Like
I can see how Rush would, prompt Naito to be a bit of an asshole. He gives him, license to be even
he
more of an
just.
asshole than usual.
Yeah, he just. I think he gets it that out of him for sure. When Rush is there, it's just like everybody kind of steps up their game a little to be just even a little more like a kind of a hateable group more than a kind of a sympathetic group.
Yeah.
They yeah the yeah the whole oh my God, the Milano angle is so great. Like, I mean, I was like, oh my God, like Naito. I thought he was just gonna stop like after like a little bit, and then he went back and just kept going, and I'm like, oh my God, like defend yourself, Milano, come on, man,
Yeah, I'm
like
kind of worried because if I remember correctly, with the nature of Milano's injury, I mean, he could what was it? He could go blind or something with it, right? Because
yeah,
I mean, it was
you gotta
his
be really
eyes. Yeah,
yeah
so
you gotta be really careful with
yeah,
them, but
I know. I was a little concerned, but
I think that's what the kind of the nature of what they're trying to do though is they're just trying to like kind of mess with people and just be like, oh crap, like Naito really went after him again, and he really went after him this time. I don't remember ever him going after him that bad. That was just a flat out beating he gave him. It was he
Yeah,
just kicked that, man.
usually when Naito messes with Milano, it's usually, somewhat playful at least. This was just he just outright assaulted
Yeah,
Milano repeatedly.
it was pretty nuts. I was like, whoa, it caught me off guard, man. I was like, what the hell? This is crazy. He's going to town on him. But anyway, though, the match was pretty cool. This is a good little Atomicos match.
Oh yeah, this was something else. And then, Rush and Kojima having
Oh, yeah.
their moments there. There's a single match. It's gonna be the semi-main on Monday's show. It's these Monday shows that are killing me because, otherwise we could have actually put this show off till the Sunday and done the whole thing. We could have talked about the whole tour, but instead, we got, this to deal with. So. But, it is what it is.
Star Junior. I thought Star Junior was really good in this.
He really came off as the real sympathetic baby with, Rush
Yeah, man.
completely destroying his mask.
That whole heat segment on him was awesome, man. They were just going to town on him, and it set up for a really good rest of the match. And obviously, I mean, holy cow, the Dragon Lee and Hiromu portion of this was just
Yeah,
wow.
I get really annoyed about the whole Fight Forever thing, but this is the only these two are like two of the only people where I agree with yes, Fight Forever, because I will never, I don't think I will ever be satisfied or have my fill of Dragon Lee versus Hiromu Takahashi.
They somehow managed to one up their previous chop battles in this one. They were just absolutely smoldering each other with their hands. I mean, it was holy sh I mean, oh my God, it was just intense, man. It got me fired up. I was like, oh my, yes, please keep going.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot deny the Dragon Lee and Hiromu. I mean, always and forever, I'll be here for this one.
Yeah, that
But
was
yeah, great match.
really fun.
The next one was, another typical Atomicos match. Atlantis, Místico, Volador Jr., and Drone versus Ultimo Guerrero, Barbaro Cavernario, Puma, and Disturbio. With Atlantis tapping out Puma with the Atlantida, his modified Argentine backbreaker.
Good match. Nothing crazy. I mean, there was some fun. They did some good dives at the near the end. And there's nothing incredibly memorable about this, but it was just a fun, I thought it was just a good little fun tag match. Overall, nothing offensive or anything. I don't know, what'd you think,
Yeah, I mean,
Chepe?
Atlantis. I mean, both him and Shigeo Okamura, of course, have just recently come back
Oh
from
yeah, I was
injuries,
just oh yeah, that's what I was
and
gonna mention.
yeah. So I mean,
Atlantis seems
Atlantis
very,
is,
very tentative. We'll put it. We'll say that. We'll
yeah,
say that
and
much.
Okamura was very, stiff looking. I mean, I mean, and especially since I think Okamura had a neck injury. So yeah,
I
so
can
that
tell Atlantis
that's.
was definitely trying to take it a little easier, which I don't blame him after, at all.
Yeah, I think we
And
predicted that actually.
yeah, that's what I probably was kind of saying that, and I was like, yeah, sure enough, he was kind of taking it easy. I'm like, yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, no, it was good. I've never seen much of Drone. He was pretty good. Místico and Volador did pretty well as usual, and obviously Barbaro is good stuff.
Barbaro Cavernario is the bomb. I love watching him.
And Disturbio, I find very interesting. I haven't seen much of him either in the CMLL. And he's a very kind of a different type of luchador, more of like a brawler type, just kind of a throw himself at you type of guy, and then more than a flippy type,
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's got this. Yeah, his gimmick is just being, crazy person or a disturbed person, one might say.
Yeah, I honestly kind of enjoy those guys in Lucha a little more than the than the Flippy guys, but you know, I mean, they have their like, I have a soft spot for them in certain ways too, but I do like guys like the Stutterbee. I think they're very cool. And Puma, I always enjoyed.
He's
Puma's always been
great. I mean, I'm kind of sad that Tiger didn't make it here.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, no, I was surprised that it was only just him this time. But yeah, and Ultimo is, you know, he's fun. He's always
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, he raises the roof. Yeah,
he raises the roof. You can't argue with that.
Following that, there were three title matches after the intermission. The first one was the CMLL World Middleweight Championship, in which Cuatrero, one of the Nuevo Generación Dinamitas, you know, the NGD, one of the only reasons I've been tuning in to the regular CMLL broadcast was just to see them. But he defeats Angel de Oro for that title. So Cuatrero is the 19th world middleweight champion in CMLL.
I was absolutely stunned at this title change. I could not believe. I was like, because Angel de Oro's had that title for like a while.
Good while, yeah.
Like a while. I was like, I figured there was no way it was gonna change hands. I was like, whoa, when it happened. Match though, I don't know. I just couldn't get into this at all. And I like Angel de Oro like a lot too, but damn, this was just not good. Cuatrero just didn't pop for me at all. Like I found him very, very boring. I thought he had a complete lack of charisma. He just didn't connect with the audience very well. I thought I didn't connect with me at all. I don't know. This was just a very nothing match for a while. And then there was some good stuff near the end, but I don't know.
Maybe it's because, you know, we've seen NGD more as a trio than anything.
Yeah, I think I could definitely see that he is definitely probably more of a tag guy than a singles guy. He just didn't really. I just didn't really enjoy his performance as a singles in this. I haven't seen him much in the trios either, though, to be fair, so I can't make a full assessment of the guy on one match at all. I'm never going to go and try to make an assessment on one guy after seeing only one match of him. But, yeah, I don't know, it didn't do it for me at all.
I enjoyed the match, even though, yeah, it was kind of slow going a little bit, and... You know, again, I realize that the NGD may work better as a team rather than singles, but they need to branch out eventually. I think one of the things that does take away from it is, of course, you know, the fact that we're losing the, you know, we don't have the majority of their theme songs because, you know, they do a lot of there's a lot of unlicensed music going on. So we're missing, you know, for both Sansón and Cuatrero that. You know, Touch and Go by Emerson, Lake, and Powell, which was also their father, Cien Caras's, theme music.
Oh my God!
So that takes away some of the atmosphere. But you know, I'm also a big fan of the NGD, so maybe I'm giving this a little bit more of a little bit more leeway than you are. But I mean,
yeah.
As far as the title change goes, this was the first title change to happen on Fantastica Mania since here's these guys again. Since Kame Itachi beat Dragon Lee in 2016 in that surprise match that happened on the last day.
Yep.
But moving on. Another of the NGD, Sansón, failed in his attempt to win the Mexican National Welterweight Champion from Soberano Jr. This match was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah,
it was good.
They did some really cool stuff, but like, see, I have this issue sometimes with certain lucha guys where they set up the spots so like obviously, and it's just like, I don't know, for me it just completely takes me out of it sometimes when it's like, hi, I'm just gonna sit here and like let you like dive on me, and like, all right, hi, I'm just gonna sit here in the ropes and like hang for you to like stomp me or whatever. I don't, it's just like, it always like, comes off so, like...
Yeah, there is a lot of these very telegraphed sequences. Yeah. I will agree with that. And
it's like,
that
your turn,
be...
my turn, yeah, like, kind of bullshit. That
but, I mean,
I really...
let's face it, I mean, yeah, it's not just Lucha. I mean, indie wrestling does this all the time, too.
Yeah, and I think that's that stems from a lot of it, too, is I think a lot of some of these guys are watching indie stuff, and they kind of ape from that, and it's like, ugh, it's like, guys, sometimes that stuff, like, isn't, like, the best model. It's like, I mean, it's good to take from guys, but sometimes, like, there's some of this stuff is just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old now. I don't know. Like,
are you becoming a crusty old man at 23, Lawrence? Is that what the problem here is?
Oh my god!
I mean, when I'm having to send you music recommendations and all this, are you becoming a crusty old man here?
No, you know what though? Like at the same time, I saw like a lot of talent in both of these guys. Like I think they're both really talented. It's just I think they need to work on. Just kind of like the psychology of kind of putting those moves in the right places. There's some really cool spots. So I gotta admit, I mean, Silverano is just what an athlete he is. Holy cow. Just some of the dives he can do are pretty unbelievable. Like the,
yeah. Honestly though, if it were me, if it were me booking CMLL, I probably would be swapping Silverano in Fuego's places. It's like, cause I think Fuego is very over. At least in New Japan, but that's just me. Yeah. Silverano did impress more so than he usually does for me in this match, though. I will grant that. So yeah, Silverano succeeded his second defense of the Mexican National Welterweight Championship.
Yeah, Sansone's pretty good too, though. I'm not really giving him enough credit here. He was pretty good.
I've already waxed. Poetic about NGD and yeah. So I mean, hopefully, you know, for all your for your complaints about Cuatrero, I'm hoping, you know, the coming up in the next two shows, which we'll get into, we'll get to see more of what the NGD as a unit can do. It's a shame. Oh, yeah. And it's a shame that Forastero didn't come over, because I think that would have made some things a lot better.
Yeah,
well,
that doesn't make sense to me. Is like, why would you not send all three of them? Like,
right? But I mean, they split up so many teams for this. Like, they brought Puma, but didn't bring Tiger. They brought Sansón and Cuatrero, but not Forastero.
Yeah, it seems like they kind of half-assed it this year. I feel like they just kind of like, I don't know. They just didn't send like the people. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. It felt like a little emptier this year.
Right. And also, you know, it should be noted too, that this is probably like the least New Japan oriented Fantastica Mania shows in some time. It's like, these are like mostly CMLL talents, which I don't actually mind.
No, but... you know what? I think in a way, I think it's good. I think it's good to give these guys rest. I mean, I think they deserve it after, you know, the grueling G1 stuff, and then, you know, just the lead up to Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Kingdom itself. And I think it's good to give these guys kind of a break anyway, from doing anything too crazy. And I think it's a good showcase for CMLL anyway.
It is. I mean, it is. I don't necessarily disagree with that. But yeah, it's just a wild that it's it's so, you know, not NJPW centric. And in fact, you know, on these shows. We knew going in that Kazuchika Okada wouldn't be on these Corgan Hall shows, but neither are Hiroshi Tanahashi or Jushin Liger, who started the tour. And actually, it looks like Tiger Mask isn't on this either. But I think there was some speculation Cubs mentioned that with before Negro Casas had his injury, that they were trying to maybe do one final Jushin Liger versus Negro Casas match. But obviously that's, not going to happen, at least right now.
Yeah.
Because of Negro Casas, didn't make it. Which is the spot that I would have thought they would have put Forastero in. But instead it looks like they plugged in Satoshi Kojima instead. So, which, you know, it's fine. I mean, Satoshi Kojima has become like kind of the super sub for NJPW in that respect. So while we're talking about that, the main event on the Friday show, my goodness, This was incredible, and I did not see this coming because I've seen both these guys do singles matches before, and they were just kind of eh at best, and this blew the roof off. The CMLL World Light Middleweight Championship, in which Niebla Roja defeated Gran Guerrero with, they call it a Rompecaras Rojo. It looked like a top rope Dodon.
Oh my god.
This was a belter of a match.
Yeah, I wasn't kidding. I watched it like a little before Jeff did, and I was like, dude, like, you need to watch this match. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, this was like legit, like, over 4-star like territory. I mean, I don't know if you want to do the star thing, but like, my god,
I don't do the star thing. I'll gladly give this 4.5.
They just went at it. I was not expecting this to be like anything like that. Like, I figured it would be a solid main event, but my goodness, like, man, they both of these guys brought it.
This is the best Gran Guerrero match I've ever seen.
Like, this is honestly like a star-making performance for like Niebla Roja over there. I mean, that dude was over by the time that match was.
Yeah, I
done.
Think I think Cubs wrote on his website at luchablog.com. He said something to the effect of the turnaround of Niebla Roja since the anniversary, which for context, Niebla Roja and Gran Guerrero faced each other in a mask versus mask match at last year's Anniversario, which Gran Guerrero came up on the winning side and lost his mask. And there was a lot of speculation that Niebla Roja may be done with wrestling after this because he just seemed to be neutral. And yet this may have been the best thing that ever happened to him because now he's gotten over as being pretty wrestler, pretty boy wrestler.
Yeah, kind of like Hector Garza.
Yeah, in Arena Mexico, and now he brought that over to New Japan. The He-Man costume he wore to start with kind of made me chuckle a little bit, especially since they actually redid the sword, the sword of Grayskull or whatever that was. a model of that. I legitimately chuckled at that.
I think like some guys are just better without a mask on, man. I think it is a lot.
Barbaro Cavernario has made the most of not being masked. It must be said. Rush, I found out, Rush has never been masked.
No. Yeah. Yeah. He never did. It's just like, I don't know. I think some guys they're just better without it. And I think he's just one of those cases where it's like, I think he is like a new person. He got like a new identity. He kind of got away from
And he's over as remember last year? A lot of last year he was floundering as being like the third wheel with the Guerreros, which led to the Gran Guerrero versus Niebla Roja mask versus mask match. Now Niebla Roja, he's beaten Gran Guerrero in a lightning match.
Yeah.
And now he's beaten him for the title.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he's a good looking guy. Like, you're like, and that's like a big thing, I think. It helps a lot when it's like that was like when like everybody was like, what the hell? Why did we have a mask on Sombra for like so long?
Yeah, that's true. When La Sombra unmasked, a lot of people were like questioning themselves as why did we leave? Yeah, why was he masked for so long? Because, oh my goodness.
Yeah, like
it was a revelation for a lot of people.
Like, my god, like you're just hiding like this amazing looking guy. Like, what are you doing?
I understand it's a cultural thing, but really losing his mask may have been the kickstart that his career that Niebla Roja's career needed. Let's just face it, both of these guys brought it.
I never
would have thought possible from either of these two, going by their previous endeavors.
Yeah, man, I like Niebla Roja. It's just like He brings it, 'cause there's a lot of different things to the table, and the way he wrestles, like, and he can do a kind of like every little bit of everything, which I kind of like. He kind of does a little bit of the high flying, not like crazy, but like enough to like, be like where he can put it in his arsenal. And then like, I love like the rolling elbow was pretty awesome. He does a pretty good job with that, and just yeah, it was just, man, they just traded bombs, man. It was just like awesome. They just kicked the crap out of each other. It was pretty great. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to find the words to describe it, but it was just, I don't know. They just kept going at each other, man. It just, the energy in that place was going, man. And Kurikan was piped as hell after a while during this
Oh,
match.
they were giving him a standing ovation. I mean,
Yeah.
it was incredible. And I like the fact that the luchadors are actually greeting the fans after the main event in Japanese. I think that's a very nice touch that they're doing this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Fantastica Mania is usually one of my favorite tours of the year, but I mean, it usually gets lost in the main shuffle of, the G1s and, Sakura Genesis and Dominion. But yeah, I always very much look forward to this time of year. And
Yeah.
yeah. So yeah, if you haven't watched Friday's show yet, definitely do so. The next show, of course, is going to be tomorrow as we tape this. It'll be Sunday the 21st. It'll probably be already have aired by the time you listen to this. But I'm just going to point out the some of the feature matches. They're doing something a little different this year. They're doing the CMLL Hermanos, the brother tag team tournament,
Yeah,
which this is
I
very
was.
interesting. So the participants in this are the Nilba Roja, who we've already discussed at length, and Angel de Oro, they're brothers, Ultimo and Gran Guerrero, no surprise there. Sansón y Cuatrero, the NGD, and then Místico and Dragon Lee, which I think is kind of funny considering there's another brother that could be involved with this. But they didn't do in Rush, but obviously they
They
didn't go
tend to
that
keep
route.
him away from those two. Like I've noticed, they
Well,
kind of
he was
let.
in the match. Well, he was in the match on Friday, and he's been in tour matches. But yeah, in Arena Mexico, they usually don't put them together.
Yeah, for the most part, though. And then I think was it Angel de Oro and Nieve Roja are in this too,
Yes,
correct?
yeah, they are brothers. Yes.
Yeah, I see. I had no idea. I actually did not know that until I just looked it up. I was like, "Wow, that's interesting." I didn't even know. I honestly did not know that.
Yeah,
So that's pretty
yep,
cool.
it's true. Yeah. So, and then also, so the first round of that will be on the Sunday show. The Monday show will have both the third place, match for the losers of tomorrow's matches, and then the main event will be the winner of that. There is also a title match as the main event on the Sunday the 21st show. Volador Jr. defends the NWA World Historic Welterweight Championship that he's had for like forever, against Barbaro Cavernario.
Oh Lord.
That's
Oh
going to be a
Lord.
good match. I don't see a title change happening because they already, they already did that title change.
Oh boy. Oh my God. Somebody's gonna die in this match.
Maybe. There may be a death. There may be an actual death in this match.
Voldor's gonna like do some ridiculous, like very ill-advised dive. Barbaro Cavernario is probably gonna like miss a splash to the floor and probably like smack dab on the floor just like a pancake, which is going to be horrific, but I'm sure he will do that.
Yeah,
It's gonna,
it's gonna be something to that effect.
yeah,
So yeah.
it's gonna be an absolute car wreck match. Like I can see it already. It's gonna be just,
And I think we'll enjoy it too. I think
yeah.
it'll be a very enjoyable car wreck.
So, what do you think this brothers tag team final is going to be? I'm thinking it's probably going to be Dragon Lee and Místico against the Guerreros. I would think
Yeah, I
that
think
would be
so
my
too,
pick.
because that's what pops the crowd, which is a shame because I think they could, do with putting like the NGD against. Although I don't know. I mean, after the reaction that Niebla Roja got on Friday. Oh. Who knows? There could be some on the fly booking going on here.
That would be, I kind of doubt it though. I think the Guerreros are kind of like their guys. They trust in the main event spot. You know, they've been there for so long.
I think you're right though. I think the finals will be Mysico and Dragon Lee against the Guerreros.
I think they want Dragon Lee to have that big match.
They do. Which is, you know, there's plenty of time for Sansón and Cuatrero to have, you know, big matches. I mean, they're climbing the card at Arena Mexico. I mean, they're usually in the third before main now.
Yeah! Wow.
So shit. Yeah, I mean they've climbed a lot. So the Monday show will be the finals of that. There's also the other feature matches worth mentioning will be a singles match in the semi main between Satoshi Kojima and Rush. Yeah, I wonder how that's gonna go because
it's gonna be a thing.
That's gonna be a violent match.
It's gonna be a very violent match. I am very, very like scared at what Rush is gonna do to him. Oh, and what honestly, what's what they're gonna do to each other again? They're just like, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, Kojima can still work. I mean, he can still go. I mean, so he's got he can bring it. But the other featured match to mention for that Monday is the send-off match for Kawato. And Kawato will be teaming with Atlantis. So I think we know who will be doing the bulk of the work in this match from that side.
Oh, yeah.
Against Barbaro Cavernario and Gato. So
what a random match. That's just so
It kind of is, yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, the Chaos guys usually get put as Rudos during this tour, which, you know, fine, whatever. But that it is kind of a little random, yeah. But so that'll be Kawato is heading out and wow. I really hope he does well in Mexico. We'll be keeping tabs on him. I just want to interrupt a break program here. There is a right now it looks like it just ended as we record this. Revolution Pro in the UK, their high stakes 2018 just ended. It looks like. Yeah. And among other things, there was a little bit of New Japan involvement with this as. Number one, the reigning IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Evil and Sonata, which is why they're not on Fantastica Mania, beat the Aussie Open, who were the team of Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher. Sonata tapped Fletcher with Skull End, so they had that match. And then in the main event, Suzuki-Gun just beat British Strong Style. Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. beating Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. Suzuki with a Gotch pile driver on Tyler Bate. They are now the new Revolution Pro Tag Team Champions.
Wow. Holy cow.
So Suzuki has a belt again. And and after that, CCK, the Calamari Catch Kings, challenged Suzuki and Sabre. So it looks like Suzuki's carving out a nice little second or third home in RevPro lately.
Yeah, every time I see his, when he's on his Instagram and he's in London, he looks like he's just having the time of his life over there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. Which is great considering the absolute shitty treatment he got in What Culture.
Oh yeah.
So right. Yeah. So it's really good that that RevPro has come correct on this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool though. That like a pretty interesting match, like matchup for sure.
Yeah. That'll be on RevPro on demand very soon, I'm sure.
And probably we'll have at least that match on New Japan World.
Yeah, yeah, those probably will end up on New Japan Worlds eventually as well. So, yeah, they usually do tend to do that. So
that's kind of nice.
Alrighty, so we've discussed Fantastica Mania. We have discussed the High Stakes 2018. So next weekend will be the new beginning in Sapporo, which they're extending to a 2-day event.
Yeah, that's was always very surprising to me when I saw that. But
it is, but you know, here we are. This is the thing that they're doing. So
yeah, expansion. Yeah.
Well, you know, strike while the iron's hot. I mean, I can't really blame them on that.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. Strike while the iron's hot. So the new beginning in Sapporo starts next weekend. There are some feature matches here. First up, Katsuya Kitamura continues his 7-match series throughout this tour. Although it's only matches 2 through 6, so I don't know what they're waiting for on the 7th match or when they're doing it. But I mean, usually, as we noted last week, last show, this is usually a prelude to an excursion when they do these series. So, eventually he's going to be heading out on his excursion, but I don't know when that will be because, you know, we still have one more of the 7-match series to go. I hate to break it to folk, the first of this, at the new beginning in Sapporo, the opening match will be Katsuya Kitamura against Michael Elgin. Which I know that's going to put some people off big time. So yes, Michael Elgin is back on this tour. He does not seem to be featuring in much. I mean, he's doing a lot of opening undercard matches on this tour, which that may be very small comfort for some.
Like
minuscule comfort.
Yeah.
In fact, if any. So yes, Michael Elgin will be part of this tour, for what that's worth. And something I should have mentioned. Leo Tonga is now going. He's now going back to his previous name, which is Hikuleo. That's what he debuted as at that show that Fale threw. In Australia. I think it was in 2016, yeah. I think, yeah. So Hikuleo is... so that if you see Hikuleo on the lineup, that's Leo Tonga.
Huh. Interesting. So,
speaking of the brother... Following the brothers Tonga, on the first night of the Sapporo 2 days, there is a never openweight 6-man comedy tag team championship match. The defending champions, Badluck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa, defending against Togi Makabe, the also now renamed Toa Henare, and Ryusuke Taguchi. Which, that seems about as random as you can get.
Wow. That's
although Makabe, I mean, not Makabe, Henare seems to be filling in the spot for as being Makabe's partner that Tomoki Honma vacated because of his injury.
Yeah, right.
So there's that. Kota Ibushi's back on this tour.
Yay, all right.
Get excited there. And then, so now, of course, Jay White is teaming with the Chaos crew because he joined them and immediately threatened that eventually he was going to turn on them. You know,
that's like the dumb. Like, I still think that's the most hilarious thing ever. Like, that's just for me. That just makes Chaos look like the biggest geeks in the world. Like, hey, oh wow, he literally just said I'm gonna turn on him. Like, yeah, here you go. Why don't you join us anyway? Like,
yeah, what? Right. Like, I mean, what? I know that they gotta put him somewhere for tag matches because this is the model for the tour shows. But I mean, it just seemed a bit ridiculous. The main event of the first night is Hiroshi Tanahashi defending the IWGP Intercontinental Championship against Minoru Suzuki. How much does that gall Goto that he wins the Never Belt and possibly the match of the night at Wrestle Kingdom, and then Suzuki just leapfrogs him into the Intercontinental championship scene.
Yeah. Oh boy.
The saga of Hirooki Goto continues, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man.
So the second night from Hokkaido, from Sapporo, the first match is the third match of the Katsuya Kitamura seven match series against Juice Robinson.
That's gonna be an interesting match.
That could be good. And then there are two title matches in the semi and main event spots. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship, the Young Bucks, in a rematch against Roppongi 3K. That seems a little soon, if you ask me.
It is really soon, but hey, I mean, I don't know. Do you think they win it back?
Maybe. I hope so. Because I think, if you want to set up this new generation, then you know this next era. Then yeah, I think that would be the right way to go.
Yeah.
And then the main event would be the IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Championship. Kenny Omega defends against Jay White.
Yeah.
Which for once I'm actually kind of in doubt over the result of that match, because usually it's been pretty. Like you pretty much see. Although I guess maybe there was some question hanging over. Over the Wrestle Kingdom match with Chris Jericho, there was I guess maybe some question there, but yeah, I'm actually kind of in doubt of this match. I don't know who'll take that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I guess we'll find out soon enough. So following those two shows, there is the Road to the New Beginning. You know, the tour, you know, tour in between. It's kind of strange that they're actually starting with new beginning shows, and then they're doing a tour and then ending with a new beginning. But whatever, I actually don't mind.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
I mean, some of these matches really could have had a bit more build to them, but you know, things are what they are. So some of the feature matches in this, Kitamura continues his series against Hiroshi Tenzan on February the 5th from Corrigan Hall. And then the main event is an elimination match between Chaos and Los Ingobernables. The teams of Okada, Goto, Yoshihashi, Will Ospreay, and Gato, and obviously Naito, Sonata, Evil, Bushi, Hiromu.
These elimination matches are always an interesting change of pace, so it's welcomed. I welcome
that. They're usually pretty fun. I just hope they don't. I mean, it seemed like for a while last year that they were kind of maybe overdoing them a little bit, but
yeah, then they kind of got. Then they kind of went away from them for a while, I think, and then
yeah. So thankfully, I do actually like these elimination matches a lot, though. I think they're usually pretty fun, and you get some surprise results during them too. So then the next day, February the 6th, also at Corrigan Hall. Kitamura will continue his series against Satoshi Kojima. That's going to be a fun one.
Whew.
I think that's going to be a fun one.
Should be a lot of heavy-handed lariats in that one.
I reckon so. Yeah, there may be some some head, at least one head may be getting taken off here. And then the main event of that show. Now we all know that Sonata challenged Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP title, and then Evil challenged Hirooki Goto. Well, of course, Sonata and Evil, as we mentioned a little bit ago, are the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. They're actually being challenged by Kazuchika Okada and Hirooki Goto as the main event of the February 6th Corken Hall show.
That's pretty cool to have a title match on a.
Lawrence, can you remember the last time Kazuchika Okada challenged for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles?
Oh, Lord.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Man, I might not be able to get this one.
It was against Guns and Gallows on September 21st, 2014.
Wow.
They lost. Okada teamed with Yoshihashi. Here's a bonus question, even though you didn't get this one. Bonus question. When was the last time that Okada challenged for any sort of tag titles?
Oh, geez. Like, does this include the six-man belts?
No. I mean, like, a straight tag team titles.
And this is not just New Japan? You mean?
Correct. Any tag team titles anywhere.
Oh, God. I think it was him, wasn't it? Him and, might have been Yoshihashi again. Was it the Rev Pro tag titles or no?
You got the right pairing, wrong titles.
Oh.
It was in October of 2016 in the run up to King of Pro Wrestling that year. Okada and Yoshihashi went to Pro Wrestling Noah and challenged Naomichi Marufuji and Toru Yano for the GHC tag team titles.
Oh my God, that's right. I remember this now. Oh God. Yeah. Wow.
Okada's record as a tag team championship wrestler is non-existent. He has never won tag team titles.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon.
I don't think so either. But, I mean, even, you know, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Shinsuke Nakamura have at least one reign as tag team titles under their belts.
It's pretty interesting to think about.
It kind of is. It also just goes to show how little regarded the tag team titles really kind of are at this point.
Yeah, it's really a change of a generation change, honestly.
It's a real shame, but, you know, as we've kvetched about on this show before, that division is complete garbage when you get down to it.
Yep, Gato, like I said, Gato can book the singles pretty decent, but God, that man does not, and it's ironic, because the guy
that's
was
what
a
he
little,
know, is yeah. known for, is for junior heavyweight tag team wrestling, he, and right, he can't... He just
cannot fucking book a tag team division to save his life. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't understand. Get it either.
I'll never understand it, but whatever, you know.
But that is your... But that is your main event at the February 6th Corken Hall show, which leads us to the new beginning in Osaka, which starts off, you know, right and ready with match 6 of the Kitamura 7-match series against, this is almost unfair because this is one of his trainers, Yuji Nagata.
Oh, man, that's gonna be brutal, man.
That'll be fun. I dig this. Following that, there's a lot of, and there's a lot of singles matches on this show too, Lawrence, at the new beginning in Osaka.
Yeah.
In fact, the last 5 matches on the show were all singles matches, starting
that's
with
really crazy. That's Gato, very unusual.
Starting with Gato versus Bushi.
Wow. Okay.
And that's like a mid-card match.
That's so random.
I can almost see this one actually getting shifted. I could see this one being moved down the card a little bit, but maybe not. Yeah. I mean, because this is like the theme of this tour is chaos in the versus the Ingobernables. Yoshihashi against Tetsuya Naito in a special singles match.
They've always had some good freaking matches. So
they have. I wonder if we're gonna have a situation with Naito where, like, remember when Okada lost at Wrestle Kingdom, I think it was 7, and when he failed against Tanahashi. And then he lost against Minoru Suzuki, which led to Naito, you know, to Okada winning the New Japan Cup and then finally regaining the title.
Invasion Attack.
Yeah. So I wonder if we're going to see the same thing with Naito now.
Yeah.
Like maybe, you know, I wonder if we may see a Yoshihashi upset of Naito here.
It could be, and yeah, that might, it's possible. Yeah, I think Naito's going to win the New Japan Cup. I get the feeling that's...
It could be, yeah, because, I mean, they cannot go, we cannot have, although, I don't know, I mean, I still think that they may hold off until Dominion for Naito versus Okada.
No, so, yeah, maybe you're right. It's definitely a distinct possibility. It's
that
they might just do it. Soccer Genesis or whatever, you know, it's called now.
Yeah, exactly. The IWGP Heavyweight Junior Heavyweight Championship is next. Finally, finally, the singles match between Will Ospreay and Hiromu.
Hey, all right.
Finally, it took them long enough, but it's finally happening.
I'll definitely take that over the four-way spot fest. You know, that's.
Yeah, I mean that match wasn't bad, but it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't like, it didn't feel like, you know, four guys trying to win. It felt just like four guys trying to, you know, blow the roof off. You know, it didn't feel like they, like, any of them really wanted to win. It was just like, hey, let's do all these crazy spots, and it's just kind of lame when they do that. But
it was definitely a spot fest. So hopefully this one will be a little bit more involved with that. The semi-main is the NEVER Openweight Championship. Hiroki Goto defends against Evil.
That should be a good one. I think Goto should be a good one.
And Evil's won this belt before, don't forget.
Yeah, I know.
He held it for 10 days after beating Shibata for it.
Cup of coffee, you know, but yeah. he did. And I think it will be good. I think Goto's kind of gotten his head together a little bit again after that really great performance at Wrestle Kingdom. So I'm hoping at least that.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the same. I'm hoping that I'm proven wrong about Hiroki Goto in 2018.
Just give some more intensity, man. Give us some more fire, you know, and I'll be happy.
And then finally, to wrap up the 10th defense by Kazuchika Okada in this reign of the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. I cannot believe I'm saying this. against Seiya Sanada.
I'm honestly really not hyped about this. I really didn't enjoy their last match very much. It didn't really capture me. I don't know, I think it's one of those things that I just don't think they work well together, and it's not like a one guy is bad thing. It's just, I just don't think I just don't really like those two matches. Like, just they, I don't know.
I think it could happen. So, you know, I think we could be, I mean, again, if Niebla, Roja and Gran Guerrero could pull out a belter like they did,
I still can't believe how good that match was. I'm still, like, stunned. That was just, like, a blow-away, like, performance. Like,
you never know. We could see this happen. So who knows? Who knows, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just didn't like the last, was it the last one was the G1, I think, right?
I think it was a G1 match.
I never really felt like it wasn't like a... It didn't get me going too good. I was too well, I should say. But it wasn't very memorable to me. It's not one of those like matches like, oh man, I remember they did this and this and that. And I'm just like, yeah, it was there. And kind of, I don't know. Wasn't for me, I guess. But that
is the New Beginning tour in a nutshell. They're not going to get too much rest after that because New Japan will be doing their very first ever tour of Australia.
that's coming up.
So far, the announcements have been kind of a clusterfuck in a way, because here's the lineup that was originally announced. It was Kazuchika Okada, who, of course, you know, both he and Bad Luck Fale were the first ones to ever go there. You know, they made the breach. Although there was that Fale show, so a lot of New Japan stars were there for that one too.
Right.
But the match between Okada and Slex.
Yeah.
That was pretty decent match actually. Hiroshi Tanahashi was originally announced. Now it hasn't been officially confirmed, but it's being heavily reported that he's off this tour now.
Oh boy.
So.
Somebody needs to recover.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. Minoru Suzuki will be on here, as will Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Tomohiro Ishii, Kushida, Evil, and Sonata, Bad Luck Fale, like we already mentioned. Will Ospreay will be there, but he's only going to be there for two dates. He's only going to be there for the Sydney and Perth dates. Tongaloa and Tamatonga, Juice Robinson, and Lance Archer without Davey Boy Smith Jr. That was the original announcement. Since then, they have added Kenny Omega, Toa Henare, which we already knew that he, I think we already kind of knew he was going to be there because he kind of said so on his Twitter like a week before it was announced. And then Jay White, of course, you know, Henare and Jay White both are from New Zealand, so I'm sure they've had some prior wrestling experience in Australia as well. And now they've also added Yuji Nagata, Chase Owens, and Rocky Romero to this.
Rocky is like not Rocky's not going to be wrestling, is he?
He might be. I mean, I don't think. I mean, yeah, Roppongi 3K isn't there, so it could just be Rocky. I mean, he still wrestles, not as much as he used to, but he still does. I mean, he still gets in the ring. So, now if you're, I don't know if any we have any listeners in Australia, and if we do, hi. But the dates of this are the 16th of February from Adelaide Titanium Arena, Saturday the 17th of February from Melbourne Festival Hall. I think that's where the Melbourne City Wrestling Show happened, actually. I didn't look, but I think that's where that happened. Sunday the February the 18th at the Quay Center in Sydney. And then the tour wraps up on Monday, February the 19th at the HBF Stadium in Perth.
Wow.
So there we go. Four dates. The tour is called Fallout Down Under. So, yeah, quite a wide array of talents being announced here, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah, Yuji Nagata, of course, was possibly the biggest surprise out of all this.
Yeah. Yeah, but, that's pretty interesting.
I wonder what the odds that Gino Juicy Gambino is going to be appearing at these shows, since he is, fully vested member of Bullet Club.
I would pretty much guarantee he is going to be.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll get to see. I don't know, I haven't seen anything about any footage of this ending up on NJPW World, but since footage from, you know, the other foreign shows usually eventually end up there, I'm sure we're going to see it sometime. So, and on that note, this one kind of snuck under my radar a little bit because, of course, I'm no longer following Ring of Honor. But there's been another War of the Worlds tour announced, and tickets are actually on sale now for that. The dates for that are May the 9th, it's a Wednesday, in Lowell, Massachusetts at the Memorial Auditorium.
That's not a far drive for me.
Well, there you go. Here's your chance.
Wow. Mass is not far.
Friday, May the 11th, Toronto, the Ted Reeve Arena.
Yeah, they usually always go to Toronto. I know.
Yeah, they usually do. Saturday, May the 12th, in Royal Oak, Michigan, at the Royal Oak Music Theater. I think that's a new venue for them. Because usually they do. And then the tour wraps up on Sunday, May the 13th, in Chicago at the Odeon Expo Center in Villa Park, which is where they did their last New Japan show, the one that. Headlined by Kenny Omega and Yoshihashi, and that Jimmy Jacobs made an appearance at, and all that. So that's coming up. So I guess we need to talk about the next time New Japan's going to be in these parts. It's not in Ring of Honor. It's going to be in Long Beach again.
Oh yeah.
The tickets for that go on sale at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time on Monday, January the 29th. So they're kind of screwing with us this year. I think that the date of the show, the Strong Style Evolve show on March the 25th, that's kind of screwing with me as well, because if this were, summertime, like last year's show.
Yeah.
Shows were, I'd be all over this.
Unfortunately, I'm kind of concerned about like the attendance they're gonna get for this because of that. It's just a really weird day to do it on.
It is a Sunday. I mean, admittedly, it's a Sunday, but then again, it's a Sunday. I think it's in the run up to Easter too.
Oh yeah, you know what?
And it's also the week. I believe it's also the week before Mania week too.
Oh Jesus. Oh boy.
So we're
gonna have some decisions to make, I think, because
they will. I've already kind of made my decision. I think I gotta bow out of this one because
I'm not gonna be able to go.
Yeah, I can't do it this time. I mean, it stinks. I really want to. And I know Chris is gonna mock me for this and probably Dion and Bunches as well.
It's more of a for me. It's like just scheduling with my work.
The same thing. Plus I still got kids too.
Yeah. Right.
I gotta figure out childcare and all that. And because I can't really bring them on the plane. They came with me to that Global War show in Columbus, Ohio, right. And that was a complete disaster. I don't know. I mean, I think unfortunately I need to bow out of I think I need to miss the Long Beach show, which stinks. Again, it stinks, but you know, also it's just really just not good timing right now.
I wasn't a fan of how quickly I figured they were just going to wait till the summertime again. I was like, wow, when they announced,
I was hoping they would.
I was like, March. I'm like, what? Like, why? Like, should just waited again till the summer. I think that would have been better. But
they were so successful with doing that over. I mean, it was over 4th of July weekend.
Yeah,
people took vacation. You know, had vacation time. I mean, March, the end of March is a very weird time to be taking vacation. Although, again, I realize that, it's in the run up to Easter, and it's also in the run up to Mania week.
Yeah,
and
right.
I get it, but I don't get it. I just don't think it's a good timing.
Well, I mean, it'd be one thing if Mania was in LA, but it's not.
Well, I think if Mania were in LA, I think that would be a disaster for New Japan because you're competing with so much.
True.
But then again, at the same time, it may be the case where, there's too little going on too. Because I remember one of the things that we couldn't believe during last year's was that we couldn't believe that nobody else was running that week. PWG did not run a show that Friday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, the crash could have come up. Now the crash are going to Tijuana to New Orleans, of course. But I mean, the crash.
Tijuana. Wow. Where did that come from?
Well, the crash are based in Tijuana.
Oh. Okay.
But
okay,
I mean, which means they could have very easily come up to LA if they wanted to, and run that week. They would have had a captive wrestling audience, but they didn't. I think Bunch has mentioned Hood Slam a couple of times, but I mean they're up in Oakland, so that's. That's a bit of a ways from LA, so
that's a drive.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just I really don't like the timing. I really just don't like the timing. So
I 100% agree. Yeah.
Yeah. On a related note, I am going to finally see an AAW show.
Oh,
because nice. I'm going to the Naito one. Which, on that note, I have two second row tickets for the Glory Pro show with Naito. If anybody who's listening wants to hit me up, I'll sell for face. Hit me up at Strong Style Story without the Ian Style on Twitter for that, because I decided, I think I'd rather go to Chicago and with everything else that's happened with regard to Glory Pro and the Michael Elgin situation. I just don't feel right going there at this point.
Yeah, understandable.
I think I'm gonna be doing a lot less traveling for wrestling in 2018 than I did in 2017.
Yeah, it's probably the best decision on the wallet.
Yeah, right now, I mean, it really is. But, you know, it's, I mean, not that I'm minding the trips that I took, but I think I'm going to be making a lot less. A few less trips.
Unfortunately, yeah, we all can't be Papa Hills.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, and plus, too, I mean, there's also, you know, a couple of other things going on right by around the time of the Long Beach show. Like, I always attend the C2E2 comic convention for my, you know, my other hobby. And it's around that time, so. And then on April the 13th, which is my 45th birthday, hint, hint, we're debating whether or not, because I don't know if we want to go see the show itself, but we may be partaking of a chance to actually go meet Bull Nakano in Chicago.
Wow. All right.
So, yeah, I think, yeah. So, let's see. There's a few other odds and ends here, some very odds and ends. One of which, this past Wednesday, a historic event happened, Lawrence, on January the 17th.
I don't remember what recalled this.
A historic event happened. It was the first time in 25 years that an IWGP champion met a WWE champion in the ring.
Oh, yeah, literally the show we're going to be doing.
Yeah, which,
good Lord,
which, spoilers, this is going to be our episode of Strong Style History that we're about to record. But the answer to the question that you all know I'm going to ask next, the last time this happened was in 1993 when Hulk Hogan met the Great Muta, who was, at the time, was the IWGP champion.
And Hogan was obviously the Fed champion after beating
time.
Yokozuna when in like 2 minutes.
So this was so we're actually going to be discussing that match on Strong Style History. So stay tuned later in the week for that to come up. But the match we're discussing was Will Ospreay, the reigning IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, against Pete Dunne, the reigning UK heavyweight champion for the WWE. Now, of course, you know, they've all met each other about 50 million times throughout their careers. But in this one, Lawrence, did you see the result of it?
No, I haven't.
What do you think what do you think the lamest result possible could have been?
A disqualification.
Close.
Count out or
ding 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 ding. Yes.
Oh my god. Oh, I get it, but like I hate it. Like,
yeah.
I get it, but it is lame as hell. That is really lame.
If you really want to see this match, IPW is supposed to have their Magnificent Seven, which is the name of the event. It's supposed to be on their streaming service at iwnlive.net. It has not shown up yet, though.
That's of IPW not wanting to step on any toes.
Yeah, there's some. I'm sure there are some extremely strong politics going on.
Yeah, they probably did not want to mess with that. Like they probably did not want to get the.
And that show still is not online yet. So.
Yeah, they probably did not want to get the earful from either company regarding that.
Yeah, no.
So
no.
They're like, yeah, okay, we'll just take the safe route.
And, yeah, exactly.
That is really lame. That's really fucking lame.
Hey, and if we wanted one last bit, if we want to delve a little bit into some Strong Style history, on what day was this? On the 11th. On the 11th of January.
Choshu show, yeah.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about the Choshu show. Did you see that? Because I didn't.
I didn't get to see it yet. No, I'm gonna assume, but
that's not what I was going to discuss, though.
Oh, okay. I was talking
somewhat related, though, because Choshu's involved. Somewhat related. The next edition of Keiji Muto's Pro Wrestling Masters project will take place at Tokyo Korakuen Hall on the 16th of February, and it's going to feature the main event will be Keiji Muto, Jushin Liger, Riki Choshu, and Tatsumi Fujinami taking on a reunited Team 2000.
Oh my.
Which wow. is Hiroshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, Hiro Saito, and Akira Nogami, with Masahiro Chono managing them, because of course he hasn't wrestled since 2014.
Oh,
although Keiji Muto has stated that his goal is to get Chono back in the ring, much like he did with Hiroshi Hase, because Muto wants to have his retirement match against Chono at some point, whenever that is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, Lawrence, did you, Jeff, know that, because I didn't even realize this, did you know that him and Tenryu and Muto and Chono and Fujinami are in Yakuza Kiwami, too?
I did know that. I thought we talked about that on this show.
I probably completely, like, phased out.
I could have swore we talked about that on this show. Or if we didn't talk about it on the show, we talked about it on the blog, at least.
Oh, maybe. I don't know, yeah, but man, that's awesome. Holy cow. Because I just was just like looking up stuff about Choshu just out of like, because you were talking about him, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that.
Hey, speaking of Keiji Muto, you know he wrestled in LA last night.
Yeah.
Teaming with Penta El Cerro Miedo, which is like a dream team for me. against a team of Sammy Callahan and John Morrison / Johnny Mundo / Johnny whatever his name is this week. I do not know the result of this match, so don't spoil it for me if you know it, because I'm actually going to watch this later tonight. I'm going to plunk down $15 so I can watch this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, no, I completely forgot about the... I completely forgot about the Riki Choshu show.
Yeah. I was like, that was the big thing on Twitter recently. It was,
yeah, yeah. Oh, here's something I want to discuss somewhat. Actually, a couple of other odds and ends to discuss. And yes, we are just kind of filling up time now. Did you hear the gossip about Kazuchika Okada last week?
He's dating, Oka's favorite voice actor there, right?
Mimori Suzuko.
Yeah,
voice actress from Love Live. But of course, that means that that's two Bushiroad employees getting together there. And of course she does the voice of a character named Sherlock Shellingford. I don't know what the show or property is, but that's the character that Tomoyuki Oka fanboys over.
Yeah.
So this could go some interesting places, especially since it doesn't seem Oka's going anywhere on excursion anytime soon. But of course, I also don't think that Oka's really as developed as perhaps the dojo may have hoped so far. In my humble opinion, I think at this point, Kawato and Kitamura far surpassed Oka.
Yeah.
At least at this point. Mm. But yeah, I just want to touch on... Too bad Chris isn't here, because I'm sure Chris could fill us in... I'm sure he could fill us in on this... on all this.
I was just looking at the Choshu card was pretty interesting. I don't know if you saw, the whole card or anything.
I did not. I saw it, but I don't remember it.
I'll tell you. Well, the first match was apparently Keisuke Okuda from the IGF versus Nakajima, Katsuhiko Nakajima.
Holy cow!
That sounded pretty fun, like a shoot style type of match. And then next, which is really interesting, I kind of want to watch this now. Daisuke Harada from Noah and Tadasuke from also from, is with Noah now, I believe, against Andrew Everett and Jay Bradley, believe it or not.
Holy cow!
Yeah, I'm saying like what a crazy match. Like Jay Bradley's been around for forever now, and just. Been like a journeyman, and Andrew's awesome, and just unfortunately he's been you know, hampered with injuries throughout the last few years or so, and it's just been kind of, you know, on and off. But yeah, it looks pretty interesting. And then after that was Sugira, Ogawa, and Leona versus versus Maybach, O'Hara, and Mitsuhiro Yoshida.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
too bad we didn't think to invite Isaac McEnroth on this show, because he could he could provide us all of the insight on this. So, hey Isaac, how you doing?
After that was Go Shiozaki, Kamatani, and Quiet Storm versus Heisei Ishingun.
Goodness!
Believe it or not,
Heisei Ishingun. Yep. Wait! A Noah versus Heisei Ishingun match.
Yeah.
Holy cow!
Well, it was Go, Kamatani and Quiet Storm versus Shiro Koshinaka, Akira, and Akitoshi Saito. So,
oh my goodness!
Yeah, pretty ridiculous stuff. I mean, like, and then after that, was Marufuji and Shingo versus Masato Tanaka and Masa Kitamiya.
Oh my goodness, that sounds like a match I need to see.
Yeah,
Shingo Takagi has like the best tag teams, because it's like every time. Well, I take that back. It was actually I'm actually flipping it around. It was actually Yuji Okabashi. Well, it was like no matter who he tags with, because when Yuji Okabashi was teaming with Jiro Ikemen Kuroshio of Wrestle One and DDT, and then earlier this year Okabashi was teaming with Shingo.
Yeah.
Shingo Takagi, I always appreciate him. For some reason, I think he gets more love outside of Dragon Gate than he does in Dragon Gate.
Oh, for sure.
It's a shame, because I think Takagi's a fantastic wrestler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Michael Spears if you're listening.
Yeah. The main of the show is very. So it was Riki Choshu, Kota Ibushi, and Gota Ohashi. You know who Gota Ohashi is, right?
Yes, Jeff, of course, like, you're
yeah.
Of course, I know who Gota Ohashi is.
versus Fujinami, Daisuke Sekimoto, and Taka,
holy shit!
Mishmash of it's just crazy. A mishmash of craziness.
Yeah, I think I think maybe I will need to seek this show out. I'm sure it's on the Real Hero Drive, so I'll need to
see. I don't even know like how great like the matches were. They're probably not like of any like crazy like good quality, but like it just seems like a load of fun to watch. Like, so I definitely have to check this out soon, because I've been kind of.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, I have. I swear to God, two more things to mention here. Although we're actually kind of cutting this show short a little bit, which, you know, we went over last time, so, you know, maybe we were kind of making up for it. You have, of course, heard about Bullet Club Sold Out, right?
That's
September
what I
the 1st. Yeah. So far, there doesn't seem to be any of the, bar Kenny Omega, there doesn't seem to be any of the NJPW contingent of Bullet Club, read the non-white contingent of Bullet Club, announced for the show yet. They have not, but so far involved in this are Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Marty Scurll, Adam Page, and Arrow actor Stephen Amell.
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
doesn't that have roots going back to when Cody was in WWE?
Yeah, no, I know that's the reason. Okay. That's the reason why. I mean, it's just kind of funny, but to me.
So they're running this on the Saturday of Labor Day weekend, which, depending on where the location is, that may mean that neither Omega or the Bucks will be making Bola this year.
Hmm.
Depending on the location of the show, of course, because they haven't revealed that yet.
That maybe lead me to believe that possibly they'll hold it in the West Coast.
Yeah.
That's what I'm starting to think now.
Honestly, because, I honestly think that the Midwest honestly needs a big event too. But you know what. I'm a little biased on that. I do want to. Okay, so what are the odds that the Bullet Club members are actually bankrolling this out of pocket? Because I'm guessing that there's going to be a lot of Ring of Honor talent at these shows, which means I'm having a suspicion that Ring of Honor is going to be bankrolling this.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It is kind of strange. Like I'm not sure exactly like who is. I think those guys are funding it, but like I there's got to be some outside help, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, they haven't released the location. They haven't released, you know, what arena. Of course, the goal here is that, you know, they're trying to get there that they can't book a 10,000 seater arena. Which, you know, New Japan didn't even take that risk with, you know, with this upcoming Long Beach show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? We'll see. I'm sure we'll hear more about it as time goes on. And then, lastly, have you heard what Yuji Nagata's doing on February the 3rd?
What's he doing again?
He is going into All Japan.
To team with
Jun Akiyama to challenge for the All-Asia Tag Team titles that are currently held by Naoya Nomura and Yuma Aoyagi. Now,
that is truly wonderful.
Keep in mind that Nagata and Aoyagi have had kind of a little program against each other at the Lionsgate shows.
Yeah.
Of which we have not heard any new ones coming up for 2018 yet, which is kind of disappointing, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, and how about Nomura, dude? Holy cow, dude got like beefed up, man.
I know, right? And then, you know, Aoyagi decided he was a heavyweight now too. So,
man,
but
looks like a BJW guy now.
Yeah. So now, the reason why Nagata's going in is because Akiyama's usual wild burning partner Takao Omori has a herniated disc in his neck, so he's gonna be doing that. So. Also on that same show, ironically enough, in quasi-related NJPW news, the Triple Crown will be on defense. Joe Doering against Kai. So the reason why this was significant is because Kai had no idea that his former friend and dojo mate, you know, who even jumped to wrestle one together. Seiya Sanada was challenging for the IWGP title, you know, within a week of this match. Mm-hmm. He apparently had no idea.
Yeah, they're oddly connected. It's kind of funny. Like
it kind of is, yeah. the stature of Kai too, because he was absolutely floundering in Russell One.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That would be an understatement.
Yeah. So
and yeah, he's got new life in All Japan, like,
yeah,
100%.
Yeah, and on a related note to that, new life in All Japan, there's also going to be a World Tag Team title defense in that, with the defending champions Suoma and Shuji Ishikawa defending against the young ace of all of our hearts, Kento Miyahara, and his new regular partner, former New Japan joke wrestler Yoshitatsu.
Yeah, he's the new sidekick for Kento.
Which, hey, great, good for him. I'm happy for him. If it's working out, great.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm overjoyed for him. It's a far cry from, you know, the table of Hunter Club merch at Long Beach nobody. The fact that nobody even wanted to steal that merch at an unattended table.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to steal that merch. I mean, that just shows how far down he was.
Mm.
You know, but here we go. Last note, I just want to give a shout out of good luck to some former IWGP champions who have signed to NXT now. Ricochet, Raymond Rowe and Warbeard Hansen are all now down in Winter Park. So
I know. My
father used to live in Winter Park, actually. Long time before, you know, this. But yeah, I remember spending a lot of time down there when I was younger.
Wow.
So
Now you got to do a performance center tour for $1,500 and live it all over again.
There we go. I just wonder if the comic book store I used to go to is still around. I don't know. I used to bike there. I digress. That's all I have for this episode of the program, Lawrence. Do you have anything else you want to bring up or?
Nothing like. Really wrestling related, but happy birthday, Jamal of Real Hero.
Hey Jamal, how are you? Happy birthday, brother.
That was pretty much it. We've exhausted our time here, I believe.
We're gonna cut this. We packed in a lot of info, but we're gonna cut this one a little lean just because we went so badly over last time.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, we also have another show to record today, which stay tuned for Strong Style History later this week, coming from Place to Be Nation, the Pro Wrestling Only podcast feed, where we'll discuss Hulk Hogan versus the Great Muta from Wrestling Dontaku 5/3/1993. So, Lawrence, plug yourself, brother.
You can find me on Twitter at LOB_3. That is where I am, so.
Of course, you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. And once again, I have second row seats for the Glory Pro Naito appearance that I'm trying to offload. 20 bucks a pop, selling for face. So let's. I'm willing to part with that. Actually, one of those was supposed to be Chris's too. So.
Oh, oops.
We both decided we were not going to be partaking of that show. So. All right. So that's all we got for this episode. This has been episode 36 of the Strong Style Story podcast. Stay tuned for Strong Style History as well as other fine programs here at Place to Be Nation, the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. So on behalf of producer Chris Damasceno, Lawrence O'Brien, this has been Jeffrey Wessel. Take care. Goodbye.